Hello and welcome to Talk From Superheroes. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Ivamy.
And I'm Diana McCollum.
And you're listening to Talk From Superheroes, where every week we discuss a piece of heroic television or film. And this week on the podcast, we are talking about Jurassic World Dominion.
Jurassic World, the third one, slash the sixth one.
JW3, we all know it.
Oh, JW3, we're all using the acronym.
Everyone's talking about JW3.
We all know the characters.
Everybody's talking about JW3.
JW3. We don't even need to, you know what, do we even need to do this episode? Everyone knows.
You know what, I actually do find it weird that in the, like, in the annals of film history, Terminator 2 just became T2, and everyone was like, T2. And that's the only movie that had, like, the confidence or, like, cultural penetration to do that. I can't think of another case where people were just like, oh, yeah, JW3. Like
that, I'm going to throw this at you. X2.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but ooh. X2 did it.
A hyphenated X is... I mean, it's they got us to the halfway mark. They were holding our hand to that one.
I think that movie's called X-Men 2, X-Men United.
And I believe that is the full title. Yes, yeah.
But we don't call it X1 and X3, but we do call it X2.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. X2 did get in there with something special.
But I agree with you that T2, although I feel like that was on the posters. Didn't they want us to say that?
I don't know. I don't think it was the official title, but I think they might have put T2 on the posters.
It was not the official title, but I think it was one of those like logos that like shrunk. Like the first and the last letter just kind of go together and clunk.
But if Jurassic World Dominion was like the poster just says JW3. We know what JW stands for, and no one's going to be talking about seeing JW3. It would not absorb. It would not sink. But T2, somehow, not the official title,
but it absolutely
sunk into the popular culture.
Even though JW3, way shorter and easier to say, but this will be the only time anyone has ever said it and will ever say it.
You know what? More people should say it. Yeah. Leave us a review on wherever you listen to this. Be like, love the JW3 episode.
It's going
to
save you so many characters, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're tweeting about JW3, because Jurassic World Dominion takes up a good number of characters.
That's half your limit. On Twitter.
You want JW3 in there.
So we're going to throw that out there. Andrew's got a new hot, or JP6.
I mean, yeah, depending on how you want to look at the whole J series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The series of J's.
So we're going to be talking about Jurassic World Dominion, aka JW3, today on the podcast. It's a new property, and whenever we talk about a new property, we are going to give you a spoiler-free review. So in case you're on the fence about seeing it, not sure if you want to spend the money to check it out, or if you just want a taste of the episode before you go see it and then listen to the rest of the thing, we're going to give you a spoiler-free portion. Then, once you hear the theme song, then we are going to get into the spoiler-filled section of the episode. So let's start with a spoiler-free review and asking the simple question, Diana, did you like it?
Andrew, no. I didn't hate it, though. I will say I liked this a lot more than Fallen Kingdom. It was still bad, and I didn't really like it. But Fallen Kingdom's just really, really bad. This one, I will say, Fallen Kingdom, I think we said it was very well directed and very poorly written. I think this one is actually a little bit better written and very poorly directed. I don't like the direction in this at all. The VFX look great. The dinosaurs look great. The stunt teams did a really good job with the stunts. I think they're very poorly filmed and edited together. I think that causes a lot of the boringness, the pacing issues. There's no geography of the action scenes. It's very, very badly done. Surprisingly bad for such a big budget movie. So that's very boring. Everything's boring. Everything's bloated. Laura Dern might be the only good part of this whole movie. She's great, you guys. I love Laura Dern. She's so good. Everything else is kind of just... the dinosaurs look really good. If you like dinosaurs, they look really good, and they're having a fun time. I'm glad they got a nice day. They're out in craft services having a good time, and they chase a lot of people. It's pretty boring. It's pretty poorly shot. It's a little bit better script, but also it's way longer than Fallen Kingdom, which kind of negates the goodness of the script. So, whoopsie daisy, I don't like it again. I'm going to be like a don't watch unless you fucking love dinosaurs. Andrew, what about you? Did you like it?
I did not like it. I'm very much with you on most of it. I completely agree. Laura Dern is the absolute star of this movie. And a flawless queen amongst a series of flubs.
Oh my gosh, she's so good.
Phenomenal. Like, it is... Laura, it is peak Dern in this scenario. So phenomenal performance by Laura Dern. Other than that, the movie doesn't work. It is so bad, it almost circles back to being good again.
Ooh, okay, what you're saying.
So I'm at a point where, like, this movie is on the precipice. And I mean on the razor's edge precipice of becoming Deep Blue Sea. It is barely recognizably a Jurassic Park film, but it is one degree away from being a campy monster, like fun, who cares type of a movie. Or like it's also a hair away from being a mediocre, campy James Bond movie. Like it's close to being a like a Moonraker or something like that, mm-hmm. where it is the dinosaurs in this are as vital as a pool full of sharks for a Bond villain. And the villains are Bond villains. This is a mid-level campy James Bond movie or almost Deep Blue Sea. And I almost would have preferred it if it pushed that extra like 1 to 10 degrees in that direction. But it is very close to being so bad it's almost good again. There are moments of kind of campy delight in here. And it's definitely not traditionally good in any sense other than the phenomenal and perfect Laura Dern.
I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah, this movie cares a little bit too much to be campy and fun. Mm-hmm. And if it cared a little less, kind of about the characters and about how serious the storylines are, it would actually probably be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it cared a little bit less about the characters, then it could just go into scenarios, you know, which that kind of a horror movie can do, where it's like, I don't know, here's some fuck. They're in a hallway, and the hallway's filled with lasers and dinosaurs. Let's see what happens.
The dinosaurs have lasers on their heads.
And if you don't care, you can get to the tension of a weird scenario quicker. And if you don't care, and in those movies when, like, everything's new and nobody cares, you don't know who's going to die. But in this scenario, it's like, it's a bloated movie that's too long, that has 8 lead stars, that all of whom I know are not going to be harmed. So it is just like, there's no tension, there's no anything. But yeah, it's close to being so bad it's good. But as it is right now, it's just kind of bad.
Yeah.
And I don't really recommend seeing it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think I love how on the same page we are on this one.
Hmm.
And I guess, can it be spoiled?
I don't really think it can. I mean, it has, I'm going to say, like, 2 plot twists, maybe, that you can see coming from a mile away. So 2 soft reveals that literally once they introduce the problem, you can pretty much be like, oh, I think I know where this is going. And that's it. It's done. So I don't really think it can be spoiled. Also, it's just a bananas insane plot. Like, there is no scenario in which any of it comes close to making any sense whatsoever. So it's a who cares kind of a plot.
I'll mildly disagree. I think the movie makes perfect sense, and it sucks how hard they'd worked to make it make sense. Like, extra scenes, extra dialogue. Like, I know what everyone was trying to accomplish, and it made things take so much longer. I think if no one cared about the plot and it didn't have to make sense, this movie could be 25 minutes shorter.
Fair enough, but I see what you're saying. It definitely could be shorter if it cared less, but I don't think it could have been spoiled for me. Like, at no point was I like, oh, that's the value for me as a viewer. So I think if someone told me the plot before I walked in, I would have the exact same film-going experience.
That I completely agree with. I'm just kind of mad they just explained everything so hard for a dumb movie.
I can completely agree
that.
I'm
saying.
So do you think it can be spoiled?
No, I don't think it can be spoiled. There's giant dinosaurs. Okay.
Yeah. big dinosaurs come at you, run, or sometimes stay still if it's a T-Rex.
And some of them are small.
Some of them are small. Some are big. It's a ride. We're going to the dinosaur place.
We're going to the place, a new place full of dinosaurs, the same dinosaurs.
That's right. Same dinosaurs, different place.
It's JW3, you guys.
Yeah, new phone, who dis, is what the dinosaurs are saying. So before we get into the spoiler-filled section of the episode, we want to thank one of our wonderful sponsors of today's episode. We want to thank our friends over at Quip.
I want to thank Quip for my good oral health care, because healthcare starts with good habits, and Quip makes it easy by delivering all the oral care essentials right for my mouth, right to my door.
The Quip electric toothbrush is loved by over 7 million mouths. It has timed sonic vibrations with 30-second pulses to guide a dentist-recommended 2-minute clean. So you pick a quadrant, you're hitting that. Where do you start? I always start lower left. I don't know why. That's my thing. I can't change it. I've tried, and it feels weird.
I'm a top left now that you say it, and I never really thought about how I'm consistently that.
And I think most people have a consistent quadrant you start with. Mm-hmm. Just some weird things you learn when you have timed sonic vibrations teaching you about when to switch quad. But you can start whatever your hot quadrant is. Start there.
They're
30
get
seconds, you get a little pulse.
Equal
you switch it over
with your Quip.
Equal attentions.
Quip also looks really great. The reusable handles are like sleek metal hues. There's like all black and all pink. I've got the pink, and it's a really nice like coppery pink. And there's bright plastic as well, so you can have a pop or you can have like a sleek.
You can have whatever it is you need. And they got this nice little multi-use travel cover. It doubles as a mirror mount. So you can pop it on the mirror, which I have done. I had gotten extra Quip for myself because I now have aligners. So when I'm out, I have to pop those out and I'm brushing my teeth more. So I've got an extra Quip that I keep in the little travel cover, just like in a little sling bag. It's ready to go at all times. So I know that I'm going to be set up for my dental needs when I'm on the go. But they have other products as well. They got their anti-cavity toothpaste. They've got two ways to floss. You can get the string that expands or a reusable pick as well. They've got sugar-free gum. They've got mouthwash as well. They've got lots of additional products, and they can deliver it all right to your door. Refills every 3 months from $5. Shipping is free. It's so simple and easy.
It's so free.
And if you want to get Quip, go to getquip.com/super right now, and you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/super. That's spelled GETQUIP.com/super. Quip, the good habits company. And thank you, Quip, for your support.
Thank you so much, Quip.
And now let's get into the spoiler-filled section talking about JW3. Right, so Jurassic World Dominion, aka JW3, it was questionably better than the last movie, than Fallen Kingdom, questionably.
I think it was definitely, if it was the same length as Fallen Kingdom, leaps and bounds better, I would say.
Was Fallen Kingdom that much shorter?
Fallen Kingdom was 2 hours 9, this was 2 hours 28.
Okay, all
right. So that's a pretty big chunk.
Yeah, that is a big chunk. 2 hours 9 is still pushing it.
Yeah, 2 hours 9 ain't... It didn't need to be that.
That ain't slim.
No, but like this is still bigger. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say definitely more enjoyable. I think just maybe because like Laura Dern and Sam Neill are so much better than Claire and Chris Pratt and anyone else in this movie, anything that's going on at all. It does suck to have two completely separate storylines for most of this movie, which is why it's so bloated. Like these stories don't intersect until the last like 20 minutes.
Even then, they questionably intersect.
They barely intersect.
Like the two main groups, which is we have the legacy group of Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and Jeff Goldblum arriving a little bit later. And their goal is to stop the locust swarm that is going to destroy the world's food supply. Mm-hmm. That is their goal.
They're trying to save the world.
The world.
The whole world.
And then Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, their goal is to save their adoptive daughter /baby raptor. That mm-hmm. is their goal. And at no point do they align, like... They coincidentally align, but at no point in the middle of the movie are they like, we need to meet up and join efforts. It's really just randomly in the third act that they bump into each other in a hallway, and they don't really like share info or get on track at all. It really is just like, oh, hey, we're all here. I'm going to go upstairs and save the world. And then Pratt's like, I'm going to go downstairs and save a baby velociraptor. And they never really have anything to do with one another other than this forced clone thing that we'll go into later.
No, I think Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard never even find out there's a world-saving plot happening. I think they're just like, oh, you're just trying to get out, right? Because the forest is on fire. We're all just trying to leave because the forest, like, he has no idea. They have no idea these three, like, snuck into the base, got a DNA sample from a locust. Like, it's so dumb. And also what's dumb is that, like, Laura Dern and Sam Neill get the clone kid and just kind of leave. We don't need Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
She escapes without them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, these storylines just completely having nothing in common is not very compelling.
And this problem of, and like, okay, all right, let's go into, like, the plot of this movie, of the, like, the inciting incident, the problems that they're dealing with.
Okay.
The movie starts with, like, the news footage of, like, it's been years and the animals have been relocated, slash they're still around, slash they've been relocated. The movie can never really make a decision. It's like they're around and shit disturbing, but also they've been relocated. And also there's a clone girl the world's looking for. How that made the news makes no sense because that's not a thing literally anyone knew about. So literally it's just like the plot of the last movie happened. There was a dinosaur auction. They got loose. I'm like, okay, the world would know about that.
You'd find out about some loose dinos.
And then the news is also like, there's a clone girl out there. Keep an eye out. What the fuck are you? Immediately, I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Well, first of all, different news story. Completely unrelated to dinosaurs, may I just say.
You are very much correct, and I did not put that together.
If I'm watching the Now This tweet about dinosaurs, at no point in that tweet video, which I assume was like the structure they were going for,
yeah.
Should there also be like, oh, and by the way, I know dinosaurs have taken over the world, but you're probably wondering about that clone girl. No, that's a different tweet. As a different news story, get it out of here. She's not involved. Also, just like unverified, no one's seen her. No one's reported her missing. You don't have a DNA sample to confirm. You're just like, this girl's daughter looks an awful lot like her mom.
She's never left a mansion that burned down. No one knows. Yeah, like, and to even say she looks like her mom, no one's seen her to know that. Why would that be a plot? Why would that be anything the news brought up?
Literally, the only way someone could know about this, and I mean this literally, is if that nanny went to the police and was like, this little girl's missing and she's a clone. And they were like, we believe you. Put it on the news with the dinosaurs. That's the sequence of events that happened.
And the other insane thing about that, so it would literally be the equivalent if we just turned on the news tonight in the real world and they were like, some clone lady out there, look out.
I mean, like, what?
What do I do with that information? Also,
just leave her alone.
Yeah, why are we hunting her? Because they add these plot points later on that the evil company wants her because she has been altered to remove a genetic defect, which they can use to kill locusts. Which so can gas, guns, nets, lots of other things.
Locusts aren't that hard to kill.
And if they're bigger, they're actually quite easier to kill, frankly. They are more visible and they can be hit with things.
Big net.
Like literally a fishing net that just ran through a field would catch 100%. They're easier to catch when they're bigger. But they have this whole convoluted plot point that she is bioengineered to fight a disease so they could use that to reverse engineer how they did it, to put it in one cricket, and somehow it would pass to other locusts.
I know, is this girl curing diseases as she passes by people in the streets?
They've turned her into Logan. Like, they've turned her into Wolverine, where they're just like, it is.
But if Logan could just, like, blow on people and be like, oh, you're cured. Air from my lungs.
But it is that classic, like, X-Men plot point to be like, we need to cure something. Where's fucking Wolverine?
Stick it in his veins.
And she's just Wolverine.
She's
to
just
them.
Wolverine, apparently.
She's just, this kid's just Wolverine. But until we find that out, we are just on a global manhunt for a clone. And this is a world with dinosaurs.
Other stuff's going on.
A real problem.
Crops are being eaten. Dinosaurs are killing people. Dinosaurs are also being exotically bred. Ecosystems in collapse.
Running out of food globally. Like, problems are happening, but we're looking for this girl for some reason.
She's at the top of the news charts.
Yes. And even though of all of the science fiction that happens in the Jurassic Park and World movies, cloning a girl is amateur hour shit. Like, we as a society right now, I'm pretty sure, can clone people. It's illegal, and you're not supposed to. And if it's not illegal, it's at very least frowned upon. I'm not a clone lawyer. But I think it's something that we could try and accomplish.
I've been with you these years assuming you were a clone lawyer.
I lied on that first date.
Why is that diploma on your wall, sir?
That is a gift certificate from a Boston Pizza. I don't know why. I should have looked a little closer. I just wrote clone lawyer under the name slot.
It's a fun bit now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. Now, it probably was a fun night at the Boston Pizza. But yeah, she's just a regular, and like, we didn't like mine her DNA out of a piece of amber with a bug in it. Like, this is so much easier than making dinosaurs. Also.
Yes.
Also, what's annoying about this is the things that are special about her weren't even done in the womb when she was made. She was given injections when she was, like, 2.
Yeah.
You could do that to anybody.
You can. And also, you're the company that did it. You should have a file on it.
The girls seem to be taking extensive notes.
Yeah. You have all of the video files of the doctor who created the treatment. You shouldn't need the patient. And also, the patient shouldn't have transferable blood to locusts is another thing as well. Wildly different DNA. Like, when they talk about, like, and these are scientists who are like, we took an amber encased mosquito, we got some dinosaur blood out of it, sequences were missing, we patched it with different reptile DNA. And it's like, so you're patching DNA actively. That's a thing that you know how to do. And then they're like, and now we're making designer dinosaurs. Not only are we patching DNA, we're taking then the complete DNA, choosing preferable traits, and we are now creating designer patchwork DNA. But they're like, we don't know how to kill a locust. It's too powerful. If only we had a child's blood, we could figure out how to kill a locust.
Look, babe, I don't know how to tell you this, but Dr. Wu is tired.
That guy looks haggard. He's fucked.
Dr. Wu looks like a teenager who just woke up from a nap. This whole movie. Like, I know they were going for depressed, but what they got was guy who just woke up from a nap. This whole movie is just like, I don't know, maybe give me some Doritos and then I'll figure it out.
Like, he looks like a guy who is on a flight back from a Vegas bachelor party.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, where he's just like, I need Gatorade.
He's even wearing, like, he's not wearing his suits and everything anymore. He's in, like, comfy sweaters. Yeah. He's like, I need hangover clothes. Get me a mac and cheese. I can't do it anymore. I've been in the J1 to J6. I've been here the whole time. And now there's locusts, and I don't know how to kill locusts.
I'm just hungover. I need some Gatorade and some hand dancers. Let's go. I just need something.
Honestly, sincerely, shout out to Dr. Wu for surviving 6 movies.
Straight up a G.
Where just he's like a villain in several of them.
Yeah. He has gone on a wild ride.
He has had maybe the most illustrious of the Jurassic careers.
Big career energy.
So yeah, Dr. Wu just like being like, I don't know, man. Maybe.
Some of the shit from this movie. So we've ragged on the clone a little bit. One of the things that kills me, that feels like it's come from, like, the Avatar school of writing, which is the fact that the company is called Biosyn.
It's a Biosyn, you see.
It's a Biosyn. Like, that is on the level of Avatar calling the element that's hard to get unobtainium. Like, that is the level of right over the plate writing.
This is, like, evil core. Like, this is some Austin Powers, like, fake evil corporation naming shit.
And they're saying it on the news with a straight face where they're just like, the world's been taken over by dinosaurs. And the one company that we all think is real sweet that will sincerely save us is Biosyn. That's being like, the company we turn to save us is called Evolution Whoopsies. And we think they're going to be the one to figure it all out. Why would you give it such a James Bondian evil company name? Why? And also, destroying the world's crops so that you're the only crop supplier is straight up a James Bond plot.
Oh, man. It's actually a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Like, this guy seems like he did accidentally, but also on purpose. I think he just didn't want to destroy the crops this fast is the impression I'm getting. But he did want to destroy the crops.
I think he wanted to destroy the crops slow enough that it gave all of the farmers opportunity to switch to his seed, giving his company a monopoly, mm-hmm. not so fast that it created a global collapse.
I also agree that that's what I think was happening. But you're right. Incredible James Bond villain plot.
And like,
if you want to buy, if you want food, you got to buy it from me. Ooh, baby.
But also that kind of like boring James Bond villainy where it's like, I'm not actually holding all of the food because I'm not going to be one tier away from rioters. I'm going to hold all the seed that makes the food, that feeds the meat, that creates the food that you eat. Mm. So that way I am four times removed from the public and never actually accountable for this.
Yeah, rioters will go to the farms. They'll go to the meat packing plants. Mm. They will not go to the guy who's selling people seeds and managing to make food.
Exactly. And it is also like, I think James Bond movies have done versions of this exact plot where it's, I'm going to control the world's water supply. I am going to control all of the world's real estate. Like there's been a bunch of different, like, I'm going to control all of the world's insert supply X. And this movie does the exact plot.
Crops for the first time. Big one. Big we one. Need those.
Big one, we need those.
Big one that we need. Sorry.
You? No, please.
Me?
Please.
You. I'm going to be positive for a second. We're going to talk about Laura Dern. Mm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mm. Laura Dern. Mm. Laura Dern, how are you so good in such a bad movie? Mm. Oh, Andrew's just eating some Laura Dern cake over here. Mm. Yum, yum, yum.
I love it. I love her. Ellie Sadler and Laura Dern. The character is phenomenal. The performance is phenomenal. It's all perfect to the point that, like, it feels like her individual lines were written by a different writer. And I don't know if it's just because Laura Dern is unable to give a cynical performance. Mm. Because we've talked on the previous episode about on Fallen Kingdom and about on Jurassic World about how this is a franchise that now in the world era hates dinosaurs.
Like, oh, it's, yeah. They're over it.
They're over it.
Make they me a hate, new one.
Yeah, like, dinosaurs are fucking boring. There's no awe. There's no wonder. In the first world movie, they're like, no one's coming to see the park anymore because it fucking sucks. We need bigger, cooler, more murderous dinosaurs because dinosaurs are fucking dumb. And just, it is aggressively anti-dinosaur. And even, like, when it cuts to Sam Neill and he's giving the speech about dinosaurs and everyone's on their phone and it's just like, The movie is so cynical to be like, everyone on your phone because dinosaurs are fucking boring. But Ellie walks in and Laura Dern, and it feels like they had to rewrite her because Laura Dern was unable to give a cynical performance. Like, she is just so sweet and earnest and unapologetically so. And I goddamn adore it about her and this character. Like, I just want to, like, gently hug her face. Like, I want to grab both
respectfully.
Cheeks and be like, ask first. Be like, may I do this? I need to do this. And then just gently hold her face and be like, thank you. Thank you for the earnesty.
The earnesty, yeah, it's almost an impossible to describe feature that she has. Because she's on this mission to save the world, but she's not like, we got to save the world. But she's also not like, oh, the world's fucked. She's in this beautiful in-between place of, like, full of hope, but realistic, but, like, believes in people, but also knows Biosyn is bad. She's heard the name. She understands that it's evil. But still with the awe and wonder of dinosaurs, though. Like, when she sees, like, the little Triceratops, and she's like, can I pet it? And she still is in awe of dinosaurs.
When she's petting the small dinosaur, and then she turns to Grant, and she says, this never gets old, does it? With her eyes full of wonder.
And love. And
sincerely, I'm like, this movie has not built to this moment. There is no overarching plot leading to this. This is not a crucial moment in our story. But I start tearing up from one line read and a simple delivery because I'm like, you're right. It never does get old. This is amazing. You should, every minute of this movie should be someone looking at dinosaurs and going, wow. And that should be the whole movie for 4 hours. I don't give a shit anymore if that's the movie. It's wondrous.
I will say she made me cry at a different scene.
Where did she make you cry?
In the scene with the pod when she told Maisie she knew her mom. Mm. She was wonderful. Like, a storyline I cared nothing about. Like, Maisie watching videos of her mom did nothing for me. Dr. Wu talking about it, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard talking about it, feel nothing. Laura Dern just had to say, I know your mom. And I'm like, I'm all in. Oh, my God. She's like, she was wonderful. She was brilliant. She was the smartest person ever. And I'm like, I believe you. And I don't even think you're lying to this girl and your sincerity. And you're like, we were friends. And I'm like, ah, your friend died. And I felt so much more sad that Laura Dern lost a friend she knew for like a month than that this girl lost her mom.
Yeah.
Laura Dern. Oh, another favorite scene. I don't love the scene, but I do at the same time. There's this scene where Laura Dern and Bryce Dallas Howard go to, like, turn off the power. They have to go through all the locusts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this scene is supposed to be, like, you know, the girl from the first franchise and the girl from the new franchise team up. And Laura Dern eats Bryce Dallas Howard alive in this scene. Like, embarrasses her with talent. Like, Bryce Dallas Howard should have hid in a shadow. She is destroyed by the power of Laura Dern. So overshadowed.
It's incomparable. Like, it is incomparable having the two of them in a scene.
Honestly, you shouldn't, because it's so obvious, like, what the original trilogy had compared to this one.
Yes.
Like, these two are not compatible scene partners. Bryce Dallas Howard, I actually think you were a really good director and not a very good actress at all.
I do agree. I think she's a phenomenal
director. She's a
really
good director. I don't know why she's acting so much.
And I even think she's a fine actor. I think she's a fine actor, but she's no Laura Dern.
She's no Laura Dern.
Like, it feels disrespectful to both of them, because it honestly feels like, I don't even mean disrespect to Bryce Dallas Howard, but it feels like if you found the best basketball player at a high school and made them play one-on-one with, or at a junior high school and made them play one-on-one with LeBron James, and then you were like, this kid fucking sucks. And it's like, yeah, they never should have been on the court together. This should have been illegal. This should not be, adults should have stepped in and said, no, we can't disrespect both of you by letting this happen.
This wasn't disrespectful to Bryce Dallas Howard until you switched it to junior high. That was too far.
Okay.
When you had high school and NBA, I was all like, okay. But then you walked back and you were like, no, Bryce Dallas Howard is junior high.
Yeah. All right. No, I'll keep it at high school.
Okay. Bryce, no offense, you're high school. Yeah. And Laura Dern is LeBron James.
You're the best basketball player in a high school.
You're the best one at the high school.
And everyone looks up to you and is like, you're great. And then you get demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It is impressive how much earnesty and sincerity, it is not only good on a vacuum in its own, her performance as Ellie Sattler, but it is exactly what the world franchise needed, mm-hmm. which is unapologetic earnesty and hopeful optimism and awe and wonder. So it is a great performance in a vacuum, and it's also exactly what this movie needed. It's water in a desert. It is exactly right.
I also think this movie, writing-wise, did a story that I actually liked and was enjoying about her and Grant. Because, you know, you don't really know how they end up after the first one. And I really like this idea that, like, Grant hasn't changed his stance on if he likes kids.
Yeah.
I don't care that you saved some kids from dying. Anyone who doesn't like kids should do that. But he's still like, I don't want kids. So the second he sees Ellie, he's like, your kid's grown up yet?
She's like, off to college. And he's like, cool. I'm never going to ask another question about that.
I'm back in, though. But he wants her now. He's like, oh, your kids are gone? Let's be together. They're not going to visit, are they? But, like, I just love that, like, they stuck with that character trait. And, like, it does explain why they broke up. She clearly wanted kids, and he still didn't. But now that her kids are grown and she's single, hey, baby, we're back. I'm just happy for them.
And I'm super happy for them. And I think they really highlight what worked about their chemistry and tension in the park in Jurassic Park that doesn't work about Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt in World. Where, like, in the 90s, I think it was very popular in action movies to have, like, an animosity between the two love interests to be like, we have a hard, incompatible thing. And at the end of the movie, it's like, maybe? And that's not really a thing that works in relationships and movies anymore, unless you find a way to really make it cohesive. Like, I think shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and stuff like that does, like, incompatible relationships really well.
And you need a lot more time for me to believe that you guys are going to make this work.
Mm-hmm. And I think what Grant and Ellie have, which is characters with sincere chemistry, and I think this happens in reality, with sincere, true chemistry, who are incompatible during a specific phase of their life. And in this scenario, it is a phase of, like, I want a family, I don't want that. But now the family has grown up, and, you know, like, maybe we can actually have this because we have everything else in common. But during an era where I needed that, you couldn't offer that. And I think that is a very real way to approach an incompatible relationship. Incompatible for a phase, a shift alignment. Whereas Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt are just two people where I'm like, I don't believe that you like each other one bit in any fucking way. From the jump to now, there's no chemistry. There's no spark.
There's never been chemistry or spark or reason for them to like each other or belief that they like each other. But I love Grant and Ellie together. Like you said, yeah, they didn't work at that point in their life. They work in this point in their life while still being true to the characters.
Yeah.
Like Grant, I just, like, as a person who doesn't want kids, I just love this character. Like, the fact that he just gets to be a man who gets the woman he loves and he didn't have to compromise and have kids that he didn't want. I'm very happy about it. I'm thrilled.
I am absolutely thrilled for him. Mm-hmm. I think the last thing I will say about Laura Dern as Ellie is it makes me sad that we did not get an alternate reality where there was a Jurassic Park 4. Mm-hmm. Because it was like we had Jurassic Park. Then we got The Lost World, Jurassic Park, which was the Goldblum movie.
Yep.
Then we got The Return of Sam Neill for Jurassic Park 3. Laura Dern should have gotten a fucking movie.
I think she had like a one scene in 3.
She did.
But like, where was she? Why? Yeah, it should have been like how the new Star Wars trilogy was like a Luke, a Han, and a Leia.
Yeah, yeah. We got a Goldblum, a Neill, and there was never the Dern movie, and there should have been the fucking Dern movie.
Hey, we just got the Dern movie, baby. She overshadowed Neill and Goldblum.
I guess you're right.
Easily.
I guess you're right. That is due to the raw power of Laura Dern.
You can't fight the Dern.
Well, let's take a quick break in the episode to thank our other wonderful sponsor of today's episode. We want to thank our friends over at Ghostbed.
Over at Ghostbed, the industry leader in mattress space since 2001.
Every Ghostbed product, from their mattresses to their sheets and their pillows, is designed with cooling features, so it's perfect if you sleep warm, which most people, like myself, do. I'm a sweaty boy.
Andrew's a toasty man, but not with the Ghostbed.
Not with the Ghostbed. It has even been dubbed the coolest bed in the world. Shipping is free and fast. You can try out your mattress for 101 nights, and you even get an industry-leading warranty up to 25 years. So you got a warranty, you got a trial period, you got a cooling bed. It seems like you're jamming and you're ready to sleep, baby.
It's quality, it's comfort, it's at affordable prices. You're cool, you're comfortable, you're gonna have naps and full-length sleeps.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't forget naps,
don't
you guys.
Don't always respect the nap and your full-length sleep as well. You want the cooling mattress, the cooling technology in every mattress, because then you will sleep longer at night as well, which is so important, because we've all, I think, in the past had those moments where you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I'm sweaty, I'm uncomfortable, like, I need to take a lap. Like, I don't need to use the bathroom, but I'm going to get up and use the bathroom
for no particular reason. The bathroom visit to let your bed cool down will not happen again.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, our ghost pillows are just so cool all the time. You don't have to flip them. You just wake up and you're like, still cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's wonderful.
I'm just not flipping anymore.
We're done flipping.
I used to be a mid-evening flip, and now I'm not flipping.
And it wakes you up. It ruins your sleep.
Oh, like when you have to flip.
When you have to flip.
When you have to flip.
When you have to flip, you're like, you get real awake, you do a physical activity. No good. No more flipping, you guys.
So I'm loving my ghost pillow. So to find your perfect mattress, check out ghostbed.com/TFS. And right now, Ghostbed is offering our listeners 40% off Ghostbed bundles, where you get a mattress and adjustable base. Or 30% off site-wide. That is 30% off all mattresses and two luxury pillows. Use promo code TFS at ghostbed.com/TFS. Hurry to take advantage of these savings. That's ghostbed.com/TFS and use promo code TFS. And thank you, Ghostbed, for your support.
Thank you, Ghostbed.
And now, back to Jurassic World Dominion.
JW3, I'm done being nice. You're very poorly directed. Oh, my God. I was so surprised how badly this was made.
It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. There's a few shots that you can tell they were like, oh, shit, that looks so cool. And it still doesn't look as good as it thinks it does. Like a few like T-Rex shots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nothing is like, it's also not edited well. So like action scenes are just filmed too close with no sense of geography. They're like, Chris Pratt's going down these steps. And now he's going up other steps that don't look connected to the steps he was just on in the previous shot.
Yeah.
None of it is laid out. There's no sequencing. There's no tension. The pacing is terrible in most of these action scenes.
The pacing is terrible. It's shot poorly. Like, I have no sense of scale of what's going on.
Yeah, they went to Malta, I think, and I have no sense of this city or country at all. Like, I'm like, okay, the brick's quite white is all right. I can tell you. Like, I don't get a sense of, like, how it's laid out and where things are and what we're doing now.
And them kind of meeting up, like, because they're having a dual chase scene where it is Bryce Dallas Howard's character and this new character, Kayla Watts, played by DaWanda Wise.
Who I actually quite liked.
Oh, I thought was phenomenal.
I actually thought she was really good, too.
Yeah like...
I get why they added her.
Considering the level of script and movie that we're watching, I'm like, you pop and you shouldn't. So you are bringing 200 pounds of work to a 100-pound bag here. This is a lot of heavy lifting you are doing, and you are doing it right. So that did work, but yeah, that chase scene where they have to, like, meet up, I guess, at the airport or whatever, I don't know what's going on. It's all a mess.
And everything, and a lot of things felt like they were filmed, like, too close. Like, I felt like I was watching a full-screen DVD. It felt like the edges and top had been chopped off everything.
It honestly felt like they were just trying to hide the fact that it was rushed, not well choreographed. Like, it feels like the first Jason Bourne movie with its use of shaky cam.
Oh, but that was, like, purposeful and kind of good.
It was purposeful. There's good components of the movie. I think the camera work is what holds it back from being much better, but... And they even have, like, a very similar, like, jumping out of a window onto another Juliet balcony type of a moment, which is literally a shot-for-shot thing from the Jason Bourne film. But it just doesn't work in this. It's just, I don't know what's going on, and I don't care.
Yeah, there's even scenes that I'm, like, I'm watching, and I'm like, wow, this is, like, I get what you had on paper, and it's gorgeous, and it kind of works. And if you were a better director, this would be iconically good. Mm. Like, there's one shot that was, like, almost so good. And it's Bryce Dallas Howard after she falls out of the plane. And she's crawling away from, I'm going to call it the Lady Deathstrike dinosaur.
I think, was that the Gigasaurus?
I don't know. It had the huge claws.
It did have the Lady Deathstrike claws.
Deathstrike in my head. I don't know any dinosaur names.
Yeah, fair enough.
So she's, like, crawling away from it, and she, like, has to go into the water and slowly get underwater, and then, like, the dinosaur, like, gets into the ground next to her and goes over the water, and they're all really cool shots, but the tension had been built so poorly that it affected me in no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we hadn't seen her, like, hiding from it or, like, just heard her breathing or, like, set up that, like, it was hunting her. She was just kind of like, I'm just going to go in the water, I think.
It was like, just get to the trailer shot. Get to the trailer shot where we have the camera half underwater, half above, as there's a dinosaur screaming at the water. Just get to it. We don't fucking care. And also because I know no harm is going to come of her as well.
We know she's going to be fine.
Yeah, like, in World and in Park, it's like, you know that two characters are safe. And then there are people who are going to get eaten and get fucked up. But this has too many mains. I don't think anyone gets harmed.
The guy who kidnaps Maisie gets both of his arms eaten by dinosaurs while he's interrogated. It's actually a haunting scene.
The bad people get murdered.
Yeah,
but that one's too fucked up.
That one is too fucked up. It's like the only person who dies. Actually, Colin Trevorrow in interviews has said, "I learned my lesson. Only villains die now."
So where's the tension?
Yeah, because in the first movie, he got all that flack because who plays Morgana from Merlin? Katie McGrath. Katie McGrath, the assistant, gets that terrible death from the pterodactyls.
Oh, okay.
And she was only like kind of didn't like her job. She was like a fine person. She wasn't mean. And everyone was like, why did that woman get the worst death of all time? And he didn't realize we thought he was misogynistic. He thought we just didn't want people who weren't villains to die. He took the wrong lesson from us being mad about that character being brutally killed for 5 minutes by pterodactyls.
Which also explains that the one female villain, played by Daikon Lockman,
who's
phenomenal.
The female casting in this movie is wonderful.
And she is playing it like a Bond villain, which mm-hmm. kind of works. I think she knows the script is bad. She's like, oh, we're doing camp doing it.
She's moving assassin raptors. Of course she's in a Bond movie.
Yeah.
So she's doing great.
She's an insane person with the laser that sends raptors on a killing spree. And at one point, like, a series of automatic weapons are shooting at her, and she walks away. And I'm like, that's not how guns work. I know that you're a raptor dealer and you're pretty level-headed, but you actually can't walk through bullet fire because you're not a superhero. But you're insane in the right way. But no harm comes of her.
No. I think she gets, like, stunned with an electric thing because Claire hits her with a taser. And then she's like, the girls with bias in. I'm like, oh, because it's got an evil name. Yeah, of course.
Of course, that's where it is. But, like, again, like, there's no stakes or consequence. No one reacts to the environment or world that they're in any scenario unless it's convenient. So even when it's like she's being shot at, she walks away. Mm-hmm. When the other guy has her at gunpoint, when she's finally captured at the end, she's like, okay, and still tags Chris Pratt with a laser just because the movie's like, well, we need her to. And then this whole underground market scene is insane because at one point it's like there's like a pit with like a mini raptor fight. Like it's like animal, they're doing animal fighting in this pit, which is terrible. And then like Pratt and the villain are fighting. And all of these, like, there's like 20 people on the outer ring of the circle who've been betting on the dinosaur fighting. But also, bigger dinosaurs are loose. There's a dude on fire. But because it just looks visually interesting in the camera to fill out the frame by having people cheer, they're just still cheering while Chris Pratt and this guy fight. And it kind of feels like the background of the new Space Jam movie, where there are just basically like video game characters going through an arm raise up and down animation, regardless of what's happening.
I mean, just like any video game, like when you're watching like wrestling video games, mm-hmm. or just like anything. Yeah, anything that's a sports video game. It's like, yeah, we love that.
Arm up and down, arm up and down.
Fred's on fire. We arm don't up care. And
down. They don't care. No one's reacting to any of the things that are happening other than the lead characters. Mm. And that doesn't make any sense to me. And it's just bad direction.
Yeah, the Colin Trevorrow is not a good director.
No.
He did not direct the second one, which is why I think this has been the flip.
Because
Fallen Kingdom, we were like, this script is terrible, but the direction's actually quite good.
Right, right.
And then this one is, the script's a little bit better, and Laura Dern's awesome, and the direction is bad.
Does not mm-hmm. work.
Because there's really cool stuff that, like it knows it's cool, and I want to, like, praise it. Like, working out a way for the plot to logistically have a fire-breathing T-Rex is dope.
Mm.
Like, it actually works. It makes sense. He shot some fire out of his mouth for one scene, and that's really cool. But I didn't feel much in the moment.
No.
And I wanted to. I wanted to cheer for the fire-breathing T-Rex. I'd like to feel that emotion. I don't want to be jaded and say it's bad. I would have loved to have loved that.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
It did not work at all. I was cheering for Goldblum, for Ian Malcolm. I was cheering for him.
I was a little bit worried about him. I know we have said that, like, no one was going to die, but this was the exact setup of Jurassic Park 1 when he gets injured.
Yeah.
He stays behind, distracts the T-Rex so everyone else can get away. I was like, oh, shit, are they going to full circle this,
mm-hmm.
finally kill him.
I will say at one point when the movie actually does have momentum all of a sudden is, and it's way too late, it's 20 minutes to the end of the movie, when they're all in that room together. When they've all just climbed up, they've just met outside of like the downed Jeep. They climb up that stairwell and they're all in a room together and it's like, fuck yes. This is a group dynamic. We are vibing. There's quips. There's charm. There's conflicting personalities. You know, you got Goldblum being like, you're not going to get a raptor, are you? And then, like, Chris Pratt being like, yeah, I got a raptor. What are you going to do? But, like, just, like, these two personalities don't make sense, and it's fucking great having them on screen together. And that all the way down, when Goldblum goes to undo an extra button. And he turns to the new girl, DaWanda Wise, and like, And she just gives him this like, nah, no, dude. No.
Not the movie. It's not that movie anymore, buddy.
Those 3 seconds alone had more character development than 90% of the movie. Like that, this whole scene with all of them together is brilliant.
Once they're together, the energy is electric. It's very, very good. Even after they're together and they break up, it seems actually still good because they've like made better groups. Because, like, Claire and Laura Dern go to turn off the power, and Ian's on the radio now. And, like, it's just a better conflict that, like, he's on the radio. And now Grant's with Chris Pratt, and he's like, we're trying to catch a raptor and not just get away. And that's good, because everyone who's ever met Chris Pratt has supported his raptorness.
Yeah.
No one in any of the other movies with Chris Pratt has said, hey, maybe we should not befriend raptors and just run away. And these people are from Jurassic Park 1. And like, we run away from raptors. So yeah, as soon as these two groups are together, the conflicting things that they're going after really, really help. Yeah, yeah. It really helps the energy and the fun.
And that is a great comparison you make. I never really thought about it as that's the central conflict. And it is an interesting conflict. It is the difference between a Jurassic World action movie and a Jurassic Park action movie. It is a difference between running away from tension versus running towards a flamethrower. And like, those are the dichotomous energies. And thinking of it as world versus park, that is a fun way of kind of breaking down what the central conflict between these characters are.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think every
charming conflict.
Yeah, I think every world movie is in some way like, we love the raptors and dinosaurs and we feel connected with them and we're going to work with them. And every Jurassic Park movie is like, run, 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 run. They are killing machines. Mm-hmm. They're going to get us.
Yeah, they're nothing but murderers. For the love of God, run. We are all going to die. It's a very different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think like the last shots that were really cool was like the final like 3-way fight. It's like T-Rex, Lady Deathstrike, and I don't know who the really
I think maybe
big guy.
That was the Gigasaurus. There That's was a the Giga
yes,
one.
Because the
there's a Giga one.
Who's twice they brought up he was the biggest carnivore to ever live. I'm like, yeah. Do we need to say that? I heard you the first time.
They wanted to reiterate.
Just so you know, you guys, he's the biggest ever, not T-Rex.
They want you rooting for the underdog. They want you to know that...
Well, T-Rex can't lose a fight.
Yes.
Because I think also in Jurassic
T-Rex
World...
T-Rex is basically like Vin Diesel or The Rock. It's in his contract that he can't lose a fight.
I'm the king of the franchise. Yeah. I'm in the poster.
Uh-huh.
That's me.
I'm the guy. T-Rex's agent is fucking phenomenal.
He's
a great
really
agent.
Good. Like, Gigasaurus was allowed to knock him out briefly, but T-Rex gets the kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, sorry, Gig.
Good agent. It's important to have a good
agent.
Even
in his old age.
In this business.
And even as he ages.
You love to see an aging star like this, you know?
I love to see stars in their 50s, 50 million, 60 million.
Whatever it might be.
Whatever age you are, T-Rex. You're looking good. You walk in front of a circular fountain and you look really cool.
They had some fun shots in that sequence. That was the closest to tension that I think the movie ever got.
But that was all done by the VFX artists.
Yeah.
Like, the director really wouldn't have, like, you know, he kind of is involved in that, definitely. Yeah. But, like, the VFX artists made a bunch of dinosaurs and made them fight and made that look cool and feel cool.
Yeah, and
so
found
kudos
the right lighting.
To
and
the VFX director, who might have been Trevorrow, but I doubt it.
I don't know. I don't know what his background is.
The live-action people don't feel good.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's just that sequence that works. Also, I do want to bring up that one thing that this movie fundamentally misunderstands about dinosaurs and living creatures is why are they shit disturbers purposefully? Why are they purposeful assholes? Because, like, in Park... It's like they do not enjoy their enclosures. And Park is very much meant to be like, this is an abomination. And also it's just like, do not treat animals like this. And the T-Rex is bored and doesn't like a goat on a chain and wants to escape and knows that you are its captor and it is mad. After years pass and they're like showing footage in this movie of the mainland and like all dinosaurs are dickheads, purposefully dickheads with no sense of self-preservation, which is not how animals work, where it's like 19 pterodactyls killed themselves flying right at a truck just to fuck up that driver's day. It's like, but why would a living creature do that unless you had caged them and were harassing them in that moment? In an escape scenario, it makes sense. It doesn't, that's not how any wildlife cohabitates. Mm. Like, you avoid even mildly dangerous things, even if you can survive a hit from a truck. You don't go specifically stand in front of trucks because you hate traffic. There's no emotional reason to do that.
Yeah, and, like, they're pretty smart animals. And, like, you know, they're not... It's weird to say, like, they're not used to humans, but they're also not used to anything. Like, it's not like we've gone in on their habitats. They're only a few years old. Like, uh-huh. So they should be able to adapt just as quickly as anything would. And they would be like, oh, that's bad. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, I'm like, that would just be the footage that made the news. There's probably tons of dinosaurs not doing shit.
Yeah, okay, you got me there.
But, like, you know, every now and then there's a dinosaur who's like, I don't know what a plane is. Wah!
That's fair. I'm going to fly right into the spinning blades of a helicopter. What? Look at me now, God. Why are you like this, dinosaur?
There's no God.
Because the thing that bothers me about it is that these are still, and the movie even says it, like, these are intelligent creatures. And intelligent creatures still have a risk reward and only hunt when something's in their territory, threatens them, or they are hungry. But all predators in this movie have infinite appetite, infinite resources, infinite energy, and all they want to do is murder you and fuck up your day.
This is what I thought you were getting at, and this I agree with, that we have never met a carnivore who wasn't starving. And in Jurassic Park, you're right, it makes sense. They're caged up, they're antsy. They're like, oh, I haven't hunted in years. But at this point in this movie, they're like, the dinosaurs have been free for 4 years. This valley is full of deer and other dinosaurs for them to hunt. They are going to be as full as they want to be, but they will still want to chomp down on a mostly bones human whenever they get the... We're such a bad meal.
We
must just suck. We're wearing clothes. We got no meat on our bones. Like, go eat a triceratops. There's no reason that they would come after us like this.
Absolutely. And especially when... They've witnessed the damage we can cause. Like, we have guns. They've learned that we're dangerous to be around. Like, the movie talks about apex predators as if apex predators are all Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. We're apex predators. We got guns.
And we have a risk-reward understanding. Like, in the animal, I think that there are examples of dogs being enough to protect entire herds against lions and apex predators. Because even though a lion can easily kill the dog barks and the lion does a risk assessment where it says, I can kill you, but you do not provide as much food as I would expend energy to murder you. And also, you'll get a couple of licks on me, and I cannot heal. Like, a lion as an apex predator is smart enough to know that I am going to expend more energy than I get in, and you will injure me slightly, which then will make me need to eat more. So this is a bad investment of my time. And at no point do dinosaurs have that.
Yeah, dinosaurs don't got any, like, resource stock mind happening. They're like, oh, I'm not going to invest in going after humans. They're not filling, and they have guns.
Yeah, guns. There's guns.
They know about the guns, and they know about the other stuff.
They very much should know about the guns at this point.
Because one kill really gets me. Because they're like, the dinosaurs have little chips in their heads, and the chips make them come to the sanctuary when there's danger. And that's nice, because it means they don't all burn to death in this fire, which actually made me feel nice, because in the last movie, they all burned to death, and that was sad. So they have little chips, and they're like, when the chips make them come here in a sanctuary. Except, there's three of those acid spitters who are like, we're taking the train. their little head chips turned on, and they were supposed to go into the sanctuary.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't make sense that they did that.
And instead, those three little fuckers were like, oh, we got to kill the main villain real quick. That, or they were like, the train's faster. Train's going to get us in there real quick.
I think...
They were all supposed to go to the place.
Yeah.
That's how hungry these guys are. They're like, we don't care that our brains are getting shocked right now. We got to go kill this dude.
We've got to go. And that is just another example of this movie being like, we set a bunch of things up, but we don't really care because it's good. We need to do a convenient thing, and let's just veer off course with that. Yeah, why were they in the train? That's a great point.
That tunnel really didn't have a lot of entry points. Like, there was like they couldn't even get out when they wanted to get out. So those three dinos, like, just getting in there super quick.
And also,
the second the train stopped working.
Just habitually, through learned behavior, all of the dinosaurs at that point would know this is a tunnel only as wide as a train that has a hyper train running through it. any dinosaur that has ever gone in there has been vaporized by a train. That means that these Dilophosauruses also were like 100 feet down the track of a train that was about to vaporize them. And that's also not a behavior that an animal would do on any given scenario. So none of it makes sense. But they had to kill the bad guy.
They had to kill the bad guy. I stick to my, the train was faster.
I also just remembered in the back, because you bring up the murder of the main villain, the Biosyn guy, the evolution whoopsie company head. He had the Barbasol can from Jurassic Park.
But why? He didn't make any dinosaurs.
What the fuck does that mean?
Did he hire Wayne Knight in the first movie? Like, how old is this guy?
I think that is the implication. That okay. Him or his company are the company that was attempting to poach that from Wayne Knight's character in the first movie.
Makes sense.
But that never made it off the island. That got washed downstream. Now, maybe it was recovered and found and somehow got to him, but it didn't make it off the island. Also, why does it matter?
You've never made a dinosaur. Like, you made a refugee camp for already created dinosaurs.
Who are already free.
And you're not doing, like, the dinosaur DNA splicing that we've seen in the other movies. It was really just a, like, oh, shit. You like Barbasol?
A real meaningless Easter egg from someone who does not understand what any of the original series means.
Yeah, no, it could have been a cool Easter egg if it like had anything to do with the plot. If it was any like, where did you get this dinosaur? It should have been wiped out or something. And it's like, I had a can of dinosaur delivered to me.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, like I thought all the Dilophosauruses were gone.
Yeah, like the Dilophosauruses were only on the main island. They were never rescued. There were none at the auction. How would you have that?
We grew those.
That's actually a really great way to kind of tie it back in and would have been a great reveal of like why this guy's the villain if Sam Neill and Laura Dern were the ones to put it together.
It would be a real like, I've been the villain all along.
Yeah.
Which actually would be kind of cool. Like sometimes you kind of hate I've been the villain all along, but only if they're like doing too much. Like the James Bond, whoever that guy was, who was like, every movie was secretly me. This guy would just be like, just the first movie was me.
Yeah. this could have been the specter of Jurassic Park.
Because we have established he's willing to pay people whatever they want. Because Dyke and Lockman was like, it's going to cost you extra for me to fight Chris Pratt or to deliver this or deliver this. So he was, because Wayne Knight needed money in Jurassic Park 1. So I'm willing to bet this guy was like, yeah, I'll pay you whatever you want.
I love this. I know we're not in the what would you change, but like this is a good change that I think we can both get on board
with. It's coming together in a fun way.
Yeah, I really like it.
But yeah, I think the final movie could use a slight villain upgrade. Now, one thing this franchise does that is not from the original, and I think we have to mock mercilessly for a moment, is the hand to a dinosaur will make it stop.
Oh, boy.
And not just a raptor. You've trained to do that.
All dinosaurs now.
T-Rexes. Mm-hmm. Middle-sized T-Rexes.
Gigasaurus. Whatever it is.
Lady Deathstrikes. Whoever you need, just put up a hand.
Yeah.
It'll magic move. Like, it felt like Chris Pratt had more superpowers than he has in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's able to make any dinosaur stop with a big old hand out.
With a big old hand at any time. And you don't need to train them anymore. Now they still, all of them smell lasers from birth.
Yeah, from birth they smell the laser.
Because the whole thing of the last one was like, which we shat on for the last one, was like, we need to get Blue and we need to figure out how you train him so well because we cannot train them. Here's a brand new baby boy that smells lasers that does everything we do. And now a bunch of new ones do that. And all of them follow the hand signal.
But these ones are thoroughbreds, and they haven't even had their DNA spliced to follow lasers, according to Dyke and Lockman. So,
they were born in the wild, these fucking ones.
Wild lasers. They've always hunted them.
Sure. You know how dinosaurs always hated lasers.
But, yeah. I mean, I will admit, I didn't hate the, like, three hands around Blue to make, like, because that kind of turned them into the raptors. Because it used to be Chris Pratt versus three raptors in the first movie.
Right.
And this really was, like, Blue is Chris Pratt now, and they're the raptors?
I can kind of buy that,
but
yeah.
It doesn't quite work, because they're still the ones in charge, and they're about to shoot him.
I think it worked exactly in that one scene with Baby Blue.
Yes, the one scene it was.
And the hand gesture does not work in literally any other scene.
Guys, we tried it on our dog and he just licked our hand.
It doesn't have a magical power.
We gave
over
a real hard stance.
Yeah.
We told him no and he was still just like
lick. Does not work.
Mm-hmm. He didn't eat us.
Licking
us is a kind of eating us.
Oh, that's a taste.
He took a taste.
It's the beginning.
Oh shit. What have we done?
That fucking hand gesture. That gentle palm. Well, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? So now that we've discussed everything we discussed, what would you change about this movie if you could change anything? Before we do ask that final question, we will remind you, as we do every week, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get them, leave us a review. It warms our hearts. We read them all. We feel good about ourselves. Leave ones for another podcast as well. You'll feel so good about yourself, and then that podcast will feel good. It's a real pay it forward.
It really
reviews.
It pays it backward because you feel good about it at the end as well.
And then your podcasters, us, do better episodes because like we got to do it for the reviewers, you guys.
Got to do it for the fans.
For the kipper.
For the kipper. We always say it. We always say it here every
time. I definitely know what movie that's from.
Absolutely. Don't even question Diana about the reference. But bring it up in your review. Mention the kipper in your review. We appreciate that.
Is it a Simpsons episode?
So please don't even worry about it. So let's as well remind you that if you haven't already, you can check us out over on Patreon, which is a monthly subscription service where you can get bonus episodes of this podcast every single month.
Yes, you can. At the $10 level, you get access to all of the bonus episodes we've ever done. It is so wonderful. This month we did Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, A Surprising Delight.
A delightful movie that you should watch and then go listen to the episode on. Definitely watch the movie. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the new one, is fire.
It's fire. The episode's fire. We will say there is spoilers in that movie, so watch it before you listen.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Surprising amount of spoilers.
More spoilers than Jurassic World Dominion.
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%. Like, you will not regret going in blind.
Yeah. So
have fun.
That is our bonus episode that is up on Patreon right now. If you head over to patreon.com/fromsuperheroes, that's patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. You head over there, you can see all the levels, all the bonuses. You can sign up, you can do monthly or yearly. As if you do yearly, you get a free month of the year, different levels of bonuses. Check it out. patreon.com/fromsuperheroes.
And thank you to all our current patrons for enjoying our content.
And thank you to all of our future patrons for hopping on board soon.
Oh, you're all great.
And now, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? Diana, what would you change?
A few small changes that I think kind of collapse in on themselves. There is nothing with Maisie. There's nothing with human clone. She's not in the opening. She's like just living a normal life because no one's looking for a human clone. She's just regular. For Chris Pratt and Claire, this is about saving both Blue and Beta, her base. So both are kidnapped. So they're just going after Blue and Beta. Like, hey, that's our dinosaur. Because in my version, they knew the raptor lived next door and they were still really close. Like, has Blue lived next to them for 4 years? And this is the first they've seen of her?
I think that's the implication.
Absolutely ridiculous. They're neighbors. They all love each other. Beta is like, Chris Pratt's basically my dad. They're all very, very close, and they're very upset when Blue and Beta are kidnapped. And then my change going forward would be basically Claire and Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, are trying to sneak in at the same time as Laura Dern and Sam Neill. Like, they're on the same plane to fly into Biosyn. And, like, they're taking the same tours, but they don't know what the other two are up to. So, like, they're just trying to sneak away from each other all the time, and they're going to find each other again. It's going to be more of, like, a madcap farce of, like, we're both here to take down Biosyn, but we don't know each other's here to take down Biosyn. So they're kind of, like, together earlier and more often. They take the same plane in. They've also been invited, much like how Laura Dern and Sam Neill got invited in. So then they kind of like, they break off every now and then, do their separate things. They meet up again when there's an alarm. They're like, oh, are you breaking in? Yeah, we're breaking in. It's going to be fun. It's more fun. I don't know how to get the pilot to come back in though, because I really like her, but I don't know how to get her here in this version.
I get it. There's a lot of things to fix.
There's a lot of characters, but yeah. She's, unless she's just like their way out. Mm-hmm. And she's like waiting in the dinosaur parts.
I think that is good enough for a what would you change. Mm-hmm. You don't need to fix the tertiary things that crumble as you're trying to fix stuff, because you're not trying to actively remove her. You're trying to fix something else and it gets a little wonky.
Yeah, I want the cast together sooner. I want the plot to be shorter. I want to get the convolution out. So yeah, those are my changes that kind of stack.
Interesting.
Andrew, what would you change?
Now, here's the interesting thing. I love your change. I think that's phenomenal. That's a much better movie. Love to watch it.
Okay.
This movie is all over the place enough that I love your change, and my change is essentially the opposite. So my change is essentially the opposite, but I still love your change.
Totally fair. Totally
that's
fair.
How many different better places you could go with this movie. Okay. So it's not to say that I am against yours. It is to say that there are many different better directions you could go. I am eliminating the locust plot.
Oh, okay.
I think it's not a dinosaur. I think it's not a dinosaur, and the Bond villain plot of controlling global food supply isn't really... It's not something anyone really cares about. Like, it's something that people mention, but no one's suffering the effects of. Like, they have, like, the people, like, Justice Smith at, like, the CIA and his coworkers just being like, oh, well, our food is going to run out of food, and then no more of these, and he's holding up, like, a fast food hamburger. But he's still eating it. Like, no one has any problems from this, so really, who cares? Who gives a shit? Also, yeah, they're not dinosaurs, and it's not the thing of this movie. So I say the locusts are fucking gone.
Okay. I can get behind this.
We need to rewrite the kid a little bit, because they were so close, a hair away with this kid, because they bring up the fact that they're like, you're not a clone. They're like, you're kind of a clone. You have a mom. You're an in utero clone, which I'm like, it's still...
Asexual reproduction.
But still a clone. But they're like, you and baby Blue are the same. But you're not, because Blue apparently is a female who, because of lizard DNA, is able to have birth without a sexual... is able to give birth without a sexual partner. Mm-hmm. Right? And then her mother gives birth without a sexual partner, but because she makes a clone... And I thought where the movie was going to go was that her mother had spliced herself with reptilian DNA. And that's why Macy would be important, to be like, we are Biosyn. We are a company who literally, the whole movie, our mission statement is, we are finding cures for human ailments. We are trying to modify human DNA. Your mother, success, like Blue's mother, like Blue and baby Blue, successfully spliced her DNA with a subspecies of reptile that can have asexual reproduction. That is unbelievable. We need to analyze you. You are not a clone. We know how clones work. We've cloned all the fucking time. Clones are not special, and we don't give a shit about clones. You are an asexual child of a human reptile hybrid. Also, delete the vlogs. Telling exposition via vlog is such a year 2000 movie thing. That's fucking gone.
One of them was one that Dr. Wu must have done like 10 minutes ago. That one was weird.
It's all very weird. So the vlogs are gone. Macy is the child of a human reptile asexual hybrid. That's why they capture her. And then Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, immediately after the child is captured, is like, they know right away Biosyn took it. We're not going to go on an around-the-world James Bond adventure wearing earpieces and having foot chases across rooftops.
They do have earpieces, don't they?
So we're not...
Claire's just like an administrator.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Claire had an executive position. So we're not going to do any of that. What we are going to do is they immediately know it's Biosyn that took it. And they're like, how do we get into Biosyn? And they see that Ian Malcolm is doing a speech presentation there. Who do we know that knows that person that could get us an invite? Then they go to Ellie and Dr. Grant. They go to Ellie Sadler. They go to Grant. And they're like, hey, we need you to get us in. They're doing more experiments on dinosaurs and humans. These are bad people. Get the crew together right away. I want them all on the same page. I like your madcap kind of a farcical thing. I think that's fun, but I like a group dynamic. I want them all in the same fucking movie from the end of Act 1. That's what I want.
Okay, I can get behind that. I think that's like a cleaner plot too, and it's more interesting. Like, yeah, a human who has dino DNA, not in a way like I'm like, I've got scales like the lizard from Spider-Man, but just like, yeah, I've taken slight traits that of theirs that are interesting. And also, you're totally right, because Biosyn is supposed to be curing all these people, and they're like, yeah, your mom cured you of a disease like 10, 15 years ago. We haven't cured anything.
Yeah.
Like, you guys suck.
And we're trying to make money, and rather than using the person who has the DNA that can apparently, by touch, pass on cures to other and things to other things, instead of using that to sell cures, we are using that to synthesize the locust, a thing that slows down locust reproduction.
Yeah, no, yours is cleaner. It's more fun. It's more interesting. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And the crew needs to get together sooner.
We agree on that. I love how you ditched the child and I ditched the locusts.
I mean, I'm much more interested in like, and then Blue and Beta can like live in that compound now, and like it's going to be safer for them, and they can help as we like try to get away.
I do agree in like, I like
dinosaurs more than kids.
I agree with you. I also like dinosaurs more than kids. I think the Ellie thing gets it back onto the thematic question of the franchise, which is, should we?
Oh, man.
And that gets it back onto the
Goldblum speeches about yours would be incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, you're part dinosaur and you're part human. You are your evolution, but you're not evolution. Yeah. You're mate.
Yeah. You are, but whether or not you should be here. But you are here, and that makes you you. You are unique. You are of yourself. But what about the way that you got here?
And where can you go?
Love it.
Yeah, the speeches he would have would be worth it.
I think we made this movie better.
I think we've vastly improved this film, and Laura Dern has half the lines.
The star of the movie is Laura Dern.
No one has anywhere near as many lines as Laura Dern.
All right. Well, that is going to be it for us this week, talking about Jurassic World Dominion, JW3, if you're nasty. And we are going to be back next week talking about Lightyear.
Lightyear. It's Chris Evans. It's Buzz Lightyear. It's Toy Story. I think it's the first Disney film we've done. Oh, no, we've done animated, though.
I mean, also, Star Wars. Everything's Disney
animated,
now.
I meant.
Animated. It doesn't seem right.
No, I agree.
But I can't think of the response off the top of my head.
No, we'll go through this. We'll go through the records, the archives.
We'll hit the archives. We'll figure that one out. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find me online at Ivamy, Ivamey.
You can reach me at Words of Diana.
And you can reach both of us at From Superheroes. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.